This is the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman. With me on the phone is Matt Hartwig, Communications Director for the Renewable Fuels Association. And Matt, we're about 3 weeks into the new year, but what are the priorities for the Renewable Fuels Association and the ethanol industry for 2010?
Well, like the last 2, 3, 4 years in the industry, 2010 promises to fulfill on excitement. At the RFA, we'll be looking at legislatively extending for a longer term the volumetric excise ethanol tax credit, or VTEC, the ethanol blending tax credit, as well as the corresponding tariff that offsets the value of that tax credit. We'll be working with EPA to get an E15 waiver done, and one done that includes all vehicles, not just those vehicles that are model year 2001 and newer. We're awaiting EPA's final rollout of the RFS2 rule and getting to work on implementing that full and robust program so that the marketplace begins to grow for those next generation of biofuel technologies. We'll also be working in the states, efforts to impose low-carbon fuel standards, not just in California, where the RFA has been aggressively pursuing strategies to block that implementation, but also in other states that are waiting to see the outcome of the California case and potentially modeling similar standards after what California has done. The ethanol industry believes California has way overstepped the bounds, not only of the law, but of sound science, and will work to educate other states and other lawmakers in state capitals about the right approach to installing a low-carbon fuel standard and whether the states ought to be doing this, or as we believe, it should be a national issue. Additionally, we'll be working with expanding the market for ethanol. E15 is an important step and something EPA can do and should do and needs to do so as soon as it possibly can. But we also need to work on expanding the infrastructure for even higher level blends. Things like blender pumps, allowing consumers the choice of a 10 or 15% blend, maybe a 20 or 30% blend, all the way up to E85. We'll be looking at efforts to mandate that new vehicles being produced in the United States are flexible fuel vehicles capable of using higher level blends like E85. And as always, we'll be here to respond and bat down much of the nonsense that comes our way from those in the food industry and others that seek to keep ethanol in check. 2010, like 2009 and 2008 and other years, will be very exciting, to say the least.
Well, you mentioned the RFS2. Where are we as far as that's concerned, as far as EPA submitting its final rule for expanding the renewable fuel standard, and what ethanol blending is going to be required for 2010 at this point?
Well, the renewable fuel standard is currently at the Office of Management and Budget. That's the last step for a rulemaking like this before it becomes final and law of the land. We're awaiting OMB's final sign-off. We expect that to occur this month. And once it does, there will be a 60-day period in which EPA will gear up to implement the full renewable fuel standard. Included in that standard, EPA has indicated, will be the volumetric requirement, the percentage requirement for renewable fuel use in 2010. That number is one that's usually released in November, or at least early December of the prior year. However, even though EPA has not issued that percent requirement yet, refiners are still, by law, required to blend increasing amounts of ethanol. We just want to get that percentage out there so refiners understand what their obligations will be in 2010.
Well, you also mentioned the whole, having to constantly respond to people criticizing ethanol and the whole food versus fuel thing, which was big about this time last year, but we didn't hear a whole lot about it during 2009. It seemed to kind of go away towards the end of the year as food prices got back to normal. And we also saw a record corn crop, where, although some of it's still out in the fields, we're expecting a record corn crop. Where do you think food versus fuel is at this point as far as, food prices are concerned, the fact that food prices were down last year, we saw a record corn crop, and we still produced a record amount of ethanol?
Ethanol being responsible for increases in food prices has been a red herring that has plagued the industry since its inception, and it won't go away. There are those entrenched interests whose sole purpose is to defend the status quo. And this is one of the charges that they will continue to lobby against the ethanol industry. But as it has been demonstrated time and again, ethanol production is not responsible for the increased price a consumer see in the grocery aisle. Ethanol production has increased by double-digit percentages over the past 5 to 10 years each year, while we have seen the price of food go up and down and up and down and moderate. More importantly, it's the price of oil and energy prices that have a much larger impact on the price of food than does the growing ethanol production in the United States. Moreover, once again, we have seen that America's farmers are by far the most productive in the world and the most productive in history. In a growing season that saw less than ideal conditions from start to finish, including a scenario in which we still have a significant amount by historical standards, corn left standing in the field, farmers produced record yields in excess of 165 bushels per acre, and the largest corn crop in history at 13.2 billion bushels on 7 million fewer acres than were needed when the previous record was set in 2007. So I think a combination of some rationality returning to energy markets and a realization that America's farmers have the know-how, have the can-do attitude they need to meet demands for food, feed, and fuel have all put the issue of food versus fuel off to the side.
Well, a lot of these issues are going to be addressed coming up. We've got the National Ethanol Conference coming up. Why don't you give us a preview of some of what's going to be going on at the conference this year?
Well, the National Ethanol Conference is really a highlight of the industry throughout the year. It's the one place where the industry gathers to talk about the market conditions, to buy and sell ethanol and other products, and to get an understanding of the policy framework and the policy environment in which the industry will be operating. We certainly are expecting a good turnout and have a very full show. Notably, we will have the Vice President of Global Operations for General Motors addressing the group on Tuesday as our keynote address over lunch. General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, all of the auto companies, you know, must be at the table when we discuss how we are going to increase the use of ethanol. They're the ones that produce the vehicles that need to be capable of using higher level blends, and it will be very interesting to see how GM's commitment to biofuels continues into the future. General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, the big three here in America, have been good partners to this industry, and they have all pledged that by the year 2012, half of every new vehicle they produce would be a flexible fuel vehicle. But there's still debate and work to be done addressing the move from E10 to E15 and higher level blends that will be necessary, as well as getting even more flexible fuel vehicles on the road. And so hearing the perspective from a global automaker on how they plan to work with the industry, I think will be invaluable to those in attendance.
The National Ethanol Conference is coming up February 15th through the 17th in Orlando. The cutoff for early bird registration to save on both the conference registration cost and hotel accommodations is January 22nd. You can find information about the National Ethanol Conference online at ethanolrfa.org. And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.